Genesis chapter 2, as I studied this week and with the idea, knowing that we're going to be doing the renewal of vows and thinking about the idea of marriage, actually over the last few weeks since Tommy asked about doing this service this morning, I began to look and consider the many, many passages that deal with the issue of marriage and the home throughout the Bible, and there are a large number there that you could choose from. They're from beginning to end, practically. You could pick a passage that that deals something with the home, whether it be a husband and wife, whether it be parenting, whether it be the children. There's something there, and probably every book just about that you could pick up and say, here's a here's an example of how a home should be run, how it should be conducted. But as I studied and as I looked, certainly Paul's words are good words. He gives some great advice when he talks about the home and the role of the husband, the role of the wife, the role of the children even, and great advice. But as I kept reading and kept looking and kept looking for just where I felt like God wanted me to be this morning, the passage that that he would have me to use, I ended up all the way back here in Genesis chapter 2. And so going all the way back to where God institutes marriage, where we have the home beginning. And so as I looked at that, I thought, well, you know, the more I thought about that and thought, well, you know, Lord, you know, there's a lot more to deal with over in some of Paul's words. Give me a whole lot more to deal with and you know, a whole lot more I could say from over there. But just kept bringing me back to this passage. And the longer I thought about it, the only reasoning I can come up with in my mind while God kept bringing me back here is, again, this is the foundation. This is where marriage starts. This is the beginning. And so, and if God never changes, then this gives us a great clue of what God intends for the home to look like, how He intends for marriage to be carried out, what the role of the husband, the wife, what a home should look like, how He designed the home to be. You know the story, beginning in the beginning there in chapter 1, God has created all the beasts and animals of the earth. He's placed Adam there, and Adam's sitting there, and God says, you know, he needs somebody with him. And so He creates woman, and He brings them together and performs what amounts to the first marriage. And as I looked at that, I began to take a legal pad. It's interesting how, it's interesting to me anyway, sometimes how sermons come together. Sometimes just wake up in the middle of the night, and there they are. Got them. Sometimes it's out of a song. Sometimes it's out of something somebody says. Sometimes it's a lot of long, hard work. And so, you know, this one was one of those where it's kind of long work. You know, I had a legal pad. I just started thinking, okay, well, what does the Bible say about marriage? What do I see here? What are we learning about marriage? And I just started scribbling all kinds of notes, and I would read, and I would talk to people, and I was writing down the things that that I got, and I got me got a page full of notes and ideas, and I went back and began to look at those notes, and I began to look at them and say, well, that's almost the same as that one. And so I would, you know, scratch them off and bring them together, and, you know, kind of bring points together that were basically saying the same thing in a different way, and then I would mark this one off and say, no, maybe that's really not there, and I just kept writing and marking and scratching until I basically ended up boiling it down to two things. Now, I realize that may not make an hour for Dr. Phil, or you know, it may not make 500 pages for a book at the bookstore, but I believe as I look at this passage that, in all honesty, I can boil down for you how to have a happy home the way God designed them to be in two simple points that we see demonstrated to us in this original passage. We tend to make it way too complicated. I heard the great theologian Jerry Clower one time talking about the NCAA and all their rules. And he said, you know, that they have made the rule book real complicated on recruiting. I think he said at that time it was 400 or 500 pages. And he said, you know, give me and a few good old boys down at the store a little bit, and we can condense that book down into about one or two sentences, you know. And I think we can really, you know, we can make marriage really complicated. Or give us a minute. I think we can boil it down to basically two statements that really sum up everything that you need to to know, and you can bolt on everything, you can get everything else you need to know about what marriage ought to look like from these two statements. First one is very simple, and that is there has to be a mutual recognition of God. When you read this story and you read the original marriage here, when you look at it, the Bible says there that the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken for man, he made into woman, and he brought her to the man. And Adam goes on then and makes that speech. When you look at that, and I want you to notice something about the institution of marriage. First of all, when you look at that, woman wasn't even there when this idea was thought up. Now, the second thing I want you to notice about it, and men are sitting there thinking, well, woman wasn't there, but the man was. But notice this, he was asleep. Yeah, and I will guarantee you, I get some of my best work done asleep. I mess up far less when I'm asleep. And so what I see about this from this original story of marriage is that they recognize there is this recognition that this is the handiwork of God. That this idea is God's. Man didn't think it up. It wasn't dreamed up in a courthouse somewhere. It wasn't dreamed up by man and woman. It wasn't something that we thought of. It's a mutual recognition. If a home is going to be what God intends it to be, then there must be a mutual recognition of God. Now, let me say this. I understand, just like you do, I know couples, you know couples. I would be sticking my hand in the sand to say, head in the sand to say that I don't know couples where both involved, the man and the woman, neither of them have a relationship with Christ. They've been married for many years. They apparently seem to be happy. Everything seems to be going good. I know that just like you do. I'm well aware of plenty of couples where only one of the people involved is a Christian and the other one is not. And they seem to be doing fine, been married for many years, and everything seems to be going smooth. I understand that. I understand all that. But what I'm telling you is they may be living together, they may still, may have many years together, but I'm telling you this, if your home is going to be everything God intends it to be, everything that God means for it to be, it must be built on mutual, shared, biblical principles. It's just that simple. It's much like John was here at the early service. In other words, John later does the computer work up at the hospital. We were talking, says occasionally goes around and he'll be on floor working with somebody, and they'll be working on their computer and can't get it to do something. And John said, if you just push that button, it'll do it. That computer would do it all along. It had that feature. They just didn't understand it. And what I'm saying to you about marriage is to get the most out of it, it must be a mutual recognition of the authority of God over both parties. It has to be a mutual understanding of the principles of marriage by both parties. And when we look at that, then we can begin to go forward. And when we begin to talk about some of the writings of Paul and some of the other scriptures that talk about what a marriage is to look like and what it is to be as they work together. And if there's one verse in the entire Bible that men know, it's the one that says that he's to be the head of the house and the woman is to submit. Atheists know that verse, folks. Yeah, and we have so taken that verse and ripped it out of context and made it into something that God never intended for it to be. It never meant for the man was to sit in the recliner in the living room with a whip going, bring me a drink. That's not what it means. It means he's to be the leader. He is to be, to use Martin's words, to be the provider, the protector. Never means that he's to be the slave driver, the master. There's to be a mutual recognition. Here's what I've noticed, though, to be honest with you. I know that the Bible says that that the woman is to be under submission. Here's what I've noticed, that same passage says that the man is to love his wife as much as Christ loved the church. Do you know how much Christ loved the church? He died for it. I've noticed this. Women have no problem with a man who they believe will die for them. They have no problem with him. They have no problem with that man. The problem comes in when the man thinks he's the king. Yeah, when he thinks he's the dictator. There are all kinds of biblical principles about marriage. There's all kinds of things that we have to look at and understand. You know, we want to pray for God to bless our home, but our home's not built on biblical principles. You know, we're looking around and we have come forward, so to speak. You know, here, and I'm amazed at how under the radar it's flying in North Carolina. In May, we'll be voting on a constitutional amendment about homosexual marriage. I don't care what the vote is. It really doesn't matter. The Bible still says it's wrong. Yeah, it can pass by 100%, and the Bible still says it's wrong. Yeah, it doesn't matter what becomes popular. It doesn't matter what becomes accepted. For a marriage, for a home to be what it should be, it must be built on biblical principles. Husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church. I'll guarantee you, if you take that first step, a whole lot of other stuff will start coming together. Husbands, love your wives. It means to be, listen, I'll tell you something else about being the leader. It means being the spiritual leader. Yeah, being the spiritual example. I want to tell you something. Men, we get all up in a tizzy and think we're all this and that. I'm going to be honest with you from the bottom of my heart and tell you this. If it wasn't for the women, that many of our young people, our children, wouldn't be in church because they're the ones that get up and get them ready and bring them while we lay up in the bed. When they got here, if it wasn't for the women, they wouldn't have any teachers. I did hear a few men in that list. Look at the nominating committee report if you don't believe it. Listen, it's about mutual recognition. Mutual is the word that both of us recognize our place in the kingdom of God. You know, that we understand and have that recognition. And that leads then to the only other thing that I think flows out of this passage of any real importance as far as the Bible goes from there, is then a mutual respect. Look what Adam says. Adam says, this is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She'll be called one because she was taken out of man. She is bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. You know what that tells me? There's got to be mutual respect. We are now one. Here's what I don't understand. To hear a man or a woman say about their spouse, he's so stupid. Let's think that one through. Who picked him? What's that say about the picker? Hello? We are bone, but Adam says she is bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. You know what? You know what that says? It says we are one. So if whatever I say about my spouse, guess what? It applies to me. We're one. I picked her. She picked her. We are one. I want to tell you something, two things I see from this passage that I think are fundamental, will revolutionize marriage, that both parties have a mutual recognition of God, that they understand biblical principles of God, and if it's in their home and it doesn't line up with the Bible, they get rid of it. That they take care of it, that they handle it, that they fix it, change it, add it, whatever it takes, so that your home lines up with what the Word of God says. Whatever that takes. Yeah, you look through your house. I'm not going to come snooping in your business. Whatever God shows you about your house, your home, your marriage that doesn't line up with this book, get rid of it. When you do that, then you can have mutual respect. Listen, I'll tell you something. It may just be me. It irritates me to no end to hear somebody talking, to hear a man call his wife old lady or something. That just runs up my spine. Yeah. Listen, you picked her. Listen, there's got to be respect. We get upset with our children and say, we talk about them, and the teenagers, they call it dissing. They're too lazy to say disrespect. Yeah, dissing. Yeah, listen, you talk to your wife like a dog or your husband like a dog, you don't really think your children are going to grow up and have any respect for them. While I'm there on respect, this one's free. I've said it before, just need to beat it in your heart is. Young people, listen to me. Wake up, listen. If you're under 18, 19, listen to me. If your potential mate, boyfriend, girlfriend, talks to their mama like a dog, they will treat you even worse because mama brought them into this world. If you think they're going to treat you any better than they treat their mama and daddy, you have lost what little sense God gave you. Mama's, daddy's, the same rule applies. If you treat each other like trash and then think your kids are going to look at you and treat you with any respect, you're along with them. You've lost your sense. Listen, it requires mutual respect. Adam says, listen, she's bone of my bones now. She's flesh of my flesh. She hurts, I hurt. You know, if she's depressed, I'm depressed. It's mutual. It goes both ways. You know, we live in a society where everybody talks about don't disrespect me the whole time they're disrespecting you. Mutual recognition, mutual respect. I promise you, you put those two into work in your life. And you know, let me tell you, you look at this. When did things fall apart in the Garden of Eden? When they stopped following God's principles. Amen. That's when it blew up. When they went to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, everything fell apart. Why? Because they broke the principles of God. It all comes back to these two simple principles. And out of these two, a whole lot of other things flow. But you know what I began to realize as I began to mark stuff off? To be honest with you, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to mark off the last one. And I'm just going to put it like this. Mutual recognition. You get God in the right place, it's amazing how all that other stuff starts falling into order. When I was a kid, I had this little puzzle. It looked like lug nuts. I don't remember, there were 7 or 8 of them. And it had number 1 through 6 on those lug nuts. And you put one down and then you put the other ones around it. And the object was to get the one on this one to match the one on this one, to make the numbers match up all the way around it. Here's what I discovered very early about that little puzzle. It didn't matter what you did with the 5 around the edge. The one in the middle. There was only one you could put in the middle. You could put another one in the middle and you could get them every one to work out. But one, something would never work. But when you put the right one in the middle, the puzzle would come together. I want to tell you something. Your marriage, your life, your work, your home, your job, whatever. You get the right thing in the middle, and all those other pieces will start coming together. You get the right one in the middle, and everything else will begin to work out and make sense for you. But as long as you have the wrong thing in the middle, as long as you have self, listen, I want to tell you something. You may be a husband. You get your wife in the center, in the middle of your universe. Your world won't work out. Sounds good. You put your kids there, your grandkids. It won't work. Till you have a mutual recognition of the principles and the authority of God in your life, nothing else. All the other pieces will never come together. It'll never work. It's not just about marriage. It's about everything in your life. What's in the center? What's in the middle? What's the priority in your life? See, when I read this story, I find something very interesting. You back up to chapter 1, and it says, in the beginning, God. When you get to this story at the end of chapter 2, it says, God caused the sleep, and God took out a rib, and God closed the flesh, and God made the woman, and God brought her to Him. It's all about God. And if He's not in the center of your life, if He's not in the center of your marriage, if He's not in the center of every decision that you make, none of the other pieces will ever fit. Mutual recognition. You know, when you get God in the center, all of a sudden it's a whole lot easier to respect. It's a whole lot easier. I've seen arrogant, mouthy people come to know Christ, and all of a sudden that arrogance go away. When you get God in the center, it's amazing how the other pieces start to come together. I want to ask you to bow your heads this morning. told you it was really simple and really short. It's really this simple. Here's the question. What's in the center? What's in the middle? What's the priority in your life, in your home? Are you trying to live your home, trying to have your marriage and build it around Dr. Field's teachings or what Grandma said or something else? Or are you trying to build it around the principles of God's kingdom? I want to tell you something. You can come and you can fall on this altar and you can pray, God bless my home, God bless us, bless my children, bless us, bless us, bless us. You can pray till the cows come home. But until you get your life straight with God, till you get the sin out of your life, the sin out of your home built and functioning on godly principles. To men, we quit thinking we're the slave driver and we become the nurturer. We become the protector of our spouse like God designed us to be. You can pray for blessings from now on. Let's get God in the center. Some of you sitting here this morning, you need to come and your marriage, maybe your grandchildren, maybe someone you work with, you need to pray for them. Maybe it doesn't have anything to do with marriage. Maybe it's just about your life. I need God in the center of my life. I need to make Him the priority. You're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior. You've never asked Him into your heart. You've been thinking about it. You've been considering it. You got a knot in the pit of your stomach right now. Nothing's going to work out until you make that right with Jesus. You need to come this morning.